All subject matter of the preceding podcast is entirely alleged and not admissible in a court of law. And just in case you rat bastards get any ideas, the hosts of this podcast are notorious and well-documented liars with no legally admissible credibility. This is Mama C, and you're listening to Notes from the Pen podcast. Welcome to prison, bitch.
Greetings from the prison industrial complex. You're listening to the Notes from the Pen podcast. I'm an incarcerated human being with a gall to have a show that is published or put out across the world. And you are listening, so you are one of the good ones, and everyone else is an uncaring bastard. But one of the best ones ever is the white lady who not only shoved me out of her birth canal, but raised me for quite a long time.
Yeah.
And continuing to, I believe, even up to this point. In the future, Mama C.
Glad to be here.
So Russia just went and saw the parole board.
Okay.
And now this man's got a bunch of lovable qualities. He's also like the paragon of someone who lives based on whatever emotion they're currently experiencing. You know what I mean? So he went over. I can tell by the gesticulations after he got back that it went really well. I heard him say, "I'm a boss, I'm a boss, I'm a boss," about 15 times in a thick Georgian accent. And then, but before he was pacing, you know what I mean? I said, "Bro, listen, you got this. Take a couple of deep breaths before you go up there," because he's doing a flop now where he kind of went up there unprepared and ended up, you know, getting his parole denied. So he comes back, and we're happy for him that he got his parole, and he's been really on point, making sure not to catch dick and stuff. But through some of this, I was just having a conversation with Nate in there and was like, I'm not for everybody, right? I know this. Some people don't like me because I don't bite my tongue. I don't know how long I've been like that, but there's like some math to it. And maybe I do the math later to convince myself, but I figure I'm not really interested in, you know, there's only so much time of the day and so much attention you can give someone, right? So right. With limited resources and time and exchanges and all that stuff, I figure you can have, and there's a scale, like it's a sliding scale, but you can either have very deep, meaningful, intense relationships, but there's just a few, or you can have a ton of casual, frivolous, or less meaningful, some more surface level friendships and acquaintances, you know, and then there's somewhere in between. I'm very far on, I'd rather have a small number of people that love me, and I don't give a fuck who likes me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you have somehow threaded the needle where people both like and love you. And it's, I wish I had an applause button because I'd give you a nice round of applause. I only got the love part from you. I didn't get the everyone likes me thing that you have.
No. You've been like that for as long as I can remember. You've just been yourself. And it might be because I've always said it's not good to hold things in.
But I feel like sometimes I you know, we all do this, but certainly I feel like you can create like this, you can kind of define a situation in the past, and before long it takes on that subjective definition of that thing, and I question how much reality it actually lines up with reality. And not just you, but me, we all do this, right? Like, when I was young, I was like this. When I was young, I was like this. You tell yourself enough, and then you're like, yeah, when I was young, I was like this. But I wonder how true that is if you were to be able to go back and, like, look at, like, some sort of God's eye footage of who you were and how you were when you were younger, as opposed to the story you've told yourself over time. Because I feel like I was a shy kid when I was younger.
You were shy up until maybe, I think when you went to Marshall Elementary School, you started coming out of your shell then. So you...
Yeah, it's when also, like, I thought that too, but it's also when I got diddled. So I think maybe trauma might have, like, broke me out of that, maybe. I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
Because I definitely have an introverted side to me, right? Which I think people listening to the show would be like, what? Like, what are you talking about? But yeah, I feel like when I was younger, I was quiet. Like when I go into a room, I don't take it over. I'll sit back and listen and watch. And sometimes people mistake that for shyness or something. And it's definitely not that anymore. It's more that if there's nothing to say, I don't really say it. But if there's something to say, something I feel something serious about, I'll say it. And I don't know. So I teased a bunch of like really good upcoming stuff, right?
Yeah.
And there's been so much that's happened because, you know, I haven't had, there's been like, you know, almost a month's worth of material where we've been playing like throwback episodes because a lot of chaotic shit's been going on here. Just an amalgamation of things that have kind of prevented the normal weekly purging of what's happening, the updates and all that stuff. And so we're doing this like really close to release date for this episode.
Right.
Because we couldn't line certain stuff up and there's just a bunch of shit going on. And so I don't even really have, like, I've got a ton of notes. I'm always taking notes. But I don't even really have like a full on theme for this one. I just wanted to kind of get on here and talk, talk to you and talk to the people,
right,
and, about what's going on.
Yeah. So we got a lot of good stuff coming up. Well, you talked about you're not really shy, and there is an introverted side of you. And when you walk into a room, you kind of like sit back and take it all in. But one of the things that I like about you is you are very engaging. You know what I mean? And you're able to, you carry on a conversation that's open-ended, you know, so when you are talking with someone, they can ask, you know, answer a question or ask a question.
Let me stop you there.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
Jesus, you nut job. That's what I love about you. Yeah. and anyway, you know, you bring the person in, and you're funny. I wish I could have the witty one-liner comebacks and stuff that you and other funny people are able to come up with. When did you, like, realize that you could do that? Or do you know how far back, or do you remember when you could do that, where you made
this? This was honed with, I believe, our specific. So there was a shot early on before we moved to Palm Bay, and I met, like, the whole Section 8 squad, Ladies Wear, Ruben, Pat, like, all the Drew, all the people that forged my, like, crude sense of humor and, like, ruthless, berating, all no-holds-barred, witty, who could be the funniest, the wittiest, the quickest clips, our hero. And, you know, Ruben, old Nick Lewis, even though he's younger than me, and in most ways, like, in a lot of ways physically, I was a bigger brother. He was always like he's one of the smartest people I've ever, to this day, ever met in my life, ever known. Him and I developed and honed that part of our group setting. You know what I mean? Like, we looked up to people like Conan O'Brien and Jon Stewart and different comedians, really witty, clever people, and we looked up to them at an inappropriate age. Like, I'm talking about 10, 11, 12, when everyone else is like watching pro wrestling and shit. We're like talking about Phil Hendry and different comedians and shit like that. And so I think that's when there's a natural tendency and love for that stuff, but that's when that kind of settled in. And I don't know how many people from our friend group would even recognize that, how I think I would get more credit or harassment or blame for some of the tendencies of our group, the cultural tendencies of our group. But Nick was a big, like, behind the scenes, like, him allowing me to kind of be the mouthpiece for the type of friend group we had. And I think that's where that crude anything goes, quickest on the draw humor thing came from. And do you remember his name? Because you called him Jared for up until I don't know when, which is Jeremy's, God, the captain's little brother.
Yeah.
And you could never remember anyone's name whenever I came over.
I still have that problem. I'm telling you, I have that facial recognition thing. It may not be severe. I'm telling you.
Isn't it aphasia? Isn't that what it's called?
I don't know. Something I just aphasia. Can't remember. Everybody looks the same to me. I'm like,
that's not, first of all, this is you again telling yourself stories. That is not a true statement. Not everyone looks the same to you.
They do.
You're colorblind?
No, listen.
You're colorblind?
Listen, when I was working at the Home Depot, thank God everybody had to put their name on their aprons, because when I'm walking by people, I'm like, oh my God, who is that? Who is that? I got to say hi.
I can't remember anyone's name.
You know? And so I
can't remember
anyone's
name.
Well, who are the two kids that live down the street on the right-hand side?
Max and Dan.
Yes, I could never get them. I could never figure out which one was Max and which one was Dan.
Notorious booger eaters, like legitimately,
God.
Both of them. And,
really?
And they were younger than us, right? So, like, let's say I'm 12. Nick is probably 9, 10. And they're, like, the older one's, like, 8, and the younger one's, like, 7 or 6. And they lived closer to him. And they had, like, Super Nintendo, like a little, they had a bad adjustable basketball rim
yeah,
in
they
their
were rich.
Driveway.
Yeah.
So we could look, what?
Weren't they, had more money what? Than we did. I was going to say they were
did
rich.
Did you just say they were rich?
Well, they had more money than us. So my world.
Just in the context, they lived on our side of the canal, so they couldn't have been rich, okay? Like, they were definitely not rich. But you're right, they had more than they were. First of all, if the bar is that low, by that my mom means anyone with any savings. I mean, any savings is rich. Because, like many people from the lower income areas of America, and I assume the world, when you do get a little bit of money, oh, money should be spent, not stacked.
That's right.
And so we always had the new VCR or DVD player or nice TV or car. We had all that shit. So, like, it would appear that we were on par with our neighbors. We were not.
No.
We were one paycheck away, probably.
Yeah.
I don't want to put your finances out there, because I know you're doing better now and stuff without the leech that... I'm still a leech. I'm still leeching off you from in here, and these poor people listen that have to listen to my fucking narcissistic diatribes all day. But, yeah, we live paycheck to paycheck. But the point is, we would go over there, and Nick was kind of the conduit to that, and we'd go over there, and we'd lower the rim and slam dunk on them, and like, whoa, alley-oop, and like kind of destroy all the shit, play their video games, and, you know, later. And they were actually, the older one, Max, was pretty witty in like a very nerdy type way was kind of funny, too.
I wanted to ask you, have you ever eaten booger? How do you know what they taste like?
You don't need to eat a booger to know they're disgusting. You know what I mean? Because anyone who's like hocked a loogie before, like and spit, has before like got a little crusty in there. And you just don't need, that's one of the, you don't need to eat shit to know it's probably not great. You know what I mean? And I remember even being real young, I remember, so this is kind of goes into what you kind of brought up at the beginning where I was saying how, you know, I don't say shit unless there's nothing to be said, right? But if I do talk to you, you were saying it's engaging, right? I'm
right.
Fully present when I'm talking to someone, and it's always about something that there's something behind it. There's meaning to it, you know? I'm engaged with it. I've always been pretty analytical, even like before I was diddled out of my shell. So I remember sitting there and like waiting, because, you know, there's only two controllers on the old Super Nintendo, and so we'd take turns playing Mario Kart. So there was always at least one of us waiting. Actually, I think Max was playing, because he was like also like distracted using the controller when I was interviewing him. I remember going, so what is it? Oh, I remember this so vividly. I remember being like, so what's the deal with the boogers, man? Yeah, and he's like, I don't know. I'm like, and Max is really, you could tell he's just a bright kid for his age. Maybe it was the boogers. Maybe there's something. Maybe they're like cognitive functioning. Like, I don't know. But I remember going like, what's the deal with it? I wanted an analytical. I wanted like a logical explanation. He's like, I don't know. And I'm like, right. But you guys have like nice shit in your house. Like, you could go get a cupcake. I remember saying this, or a cookie, and eat that. Like, and I just remember him going, I don't know, it's just kind of chewy. Like, so I was like, so I remember thinking, so it's like a texture thing. Is that? And I couldn't have been I couldn't have been more than 12 years old, 11, 12, and being like really trying to break down the underpinnings of,
wow.
of what
yeah.
what would make a kid eat boogers. And like I really needed to know the draw that boogers possess to a totally, you know, they weren't starving kids. they chose.
Uh-huh.
Listen, this is a lesson. Booger eating is a choice. Okay? It's a choice.
Hey, maybe it's the crispy ones. Who knows? The crunchy ones.
Maybe it's not a choice. Maybe that's the point. It's not a choice. It's like it's like sexuality. That's it. It's like in your DNA. So
I don't know.
So I really liked the dynamic of our Patreon episode last time where I dragged my ass out to the phone and wasn't really. So I said, you the keys, you drive. And it freed me up for you to kind of like steer the news situation and me to be like a sniper, cynical jerk that I am and make comments on it and stuff.
Right.
From the other side.
That was fun.
A lot has happened, and I kind of want to tease a little bit because I was like just venting to you, and you're like, oh, you got to do an episode. I think I want to bring JD along. It's been a minute since we recorded one. But I didn't have time to tell all the pebbles that know about the trials and tribulations of my last zombified bunkie, you know, the one that was just
right
knotted out and like all the zombie shit. Well, I got a worse one somehow. And I'm talking, I had strangers, like people that I don't talk to coming up to me after they saw the perpetual inebriation of my new bunkie, who like literally didn't shower for like 2.5 weeks, just hair in a nest. I didn't like him before he got out there like that, just based on his gruff. I just didn't like him. But this really solidified it. But I had people I didn't even know coming up to me, like, sympathetically, like, hey, Chino, I don't know. I'm sorry, man. What?
Wow.
Like, I feel bad for you. And I'm going, I know, man.
Wow.
Thankfully, I got so much other shit going on. I can't really. I'm in ASAC, substance abuse treatment class. I'm doing this consulting stuff and the book, and I got so much going on, I don't even really have time to deal with it. But, shit came to a head, and I was basically, like, just losing my shit from the gym. Imagine having a roommate that's just a fall-down drunk all day, right? This wasn't his thing. He wasn't drinking. But just imagine a fall-down drunk. Imagine how disrespectful that ends up becoming. You know, they knock shit over, they leave their shit out, they spill stuff, they bump into you. At some point, you're ready to slap some sense into them, which is all but evaporated anyway, so it doesn't really do anything. But everybody has a breaking point. And when you're in prison, and you're me, you, as much as you do to, like, kind of keep that down, you know, it reached a culmination to where I started slapping my hand like a sassy teenage girl on like Maury Povich show. And I was like, listen, this shit's going one way and it ain't a good way. And so we might as well just cut to the chase. All that's going to end up happening in the meantime is a bunch of disrespectful shit that I have to like grit my teeth about. And it's all going to end the same way anyways. And you got to go. And he wouldn't move on it. Right. He turns like, I only ever dropped one or two things down on your bunk. And at this point, I have to, like, am I wrong? And the Cuban's like, no. But Russia, to his defense, says, hey, man, listen, let's just let it be. He's going to burn himself out. And I sat down, centered myself, and said, yeah, you know what, you're right. And not 2-3 hours later, he indeed did burn himself out. There is an example of instant karma that, I don't know, couldn't be better scripted, more appropriate, and just instant justice. And right, we have now two empty bunks in the cube because of it. And one,
wow.
Two, three, four people went to the hole over it. I'll get into that with JD, and I know I'm an asshole for kind of teasing it now, but it's a good, and it needs to be its own episode, and it's good. And I wasn't even really thinking about it because I was in mere like psychological survival mode, and I was just kind of venting to you, and you're like, oh my god, that's like,
yeah, you gotta share that, right? Because it was, yeah, it was what little you were able to tell me. It was just nuts. It was crazy. And the fact that you're so close to the door, too, you know, that dynamic plays into it.
Yeah, now, I want to be clear. We'll talk about it more later. I had put up with so much that by the time it reached that point, like people, so many people had come up to me and were like, I don't know how you deal with it. I don't know how you deal with it. This guy hasn't showered. And by all old school convict rules, he would have had to go a long time ago because he wasn't showering and all this other stuff. But I'm out of that mode. I'm not, that's not me. I don't, that really was never me. It was just, this is the place I've been put in and you kind of have to live this way. I'm now on a level one and prison just isn't prison anymore. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Maybe it's both. But yeah, I just reached a breaking point. And there was a moment when shit hit the fan with this guy where I had a choice to make, and then I felt the voice that stopped, that I used to ignore, come in, and I listened to it, and I'm so glad I did, and it'll make sense later, so I'll stop.
Yeah, yeah, we'll save it, because it's going to take
an old thing, but yeah. So, yeah, that worked out well. I have an empty bunk now, and hopefully it stays that way for a little bit. Yeah. Did I talk about the one-armed guy in the cube?
No, that's new. That's new.
Oh, there's also a guy in the cube we call Ham. Still haven't gotten to the bottom of it. He looks like a prototypical CSC showcase, a sexual case. He wears big glasses. So he's got like the prototypical, like, hey, how you guys doing? Like nice guy shit too of most child molesters in here. Yeah. And, he has not just one arm, he has two arms, but one of them is dead for all intents and purposes. He'll get to swinging it around like a whip and catching it with his other hand. And he's supposed to be doing like exercises with it. And I've been talking to him like, hey, like, let's get this noodle fucking going again. Like, are you going to start working this thing out or what? And yeah, so there's a lot of developments that have been happening. I promise we'll cover them here soon.
Yeah, it was very interesting. So we definitely got to share that part. Well, speaking of noodle arms, I had a noodle arm once. I know it's a nerve. His nerve is damaged.
Yeah, that's his too.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Well, that was because I had shoulder surgery. They give a nerve block in there, and it was just for 4 days that thing was just hanging there. It was crazy. It was weird sensation.
Yeah, that's how his is. It's atrophied. It's all skinny and stuff. I knew immediately that he was in here on, as we call it, say in here, one of them cases, right? And I don't want to know what it is. I don't know if that's good or bad or whatever. You know, I rarely choose ignorance in a situation. I just don't want to know what it is because he's not, as far as it is in here, he's not a predator in here. He's not a thief. He's congenial and nice. And yeah, I don't really want to know because I don't need to take on any hatred or judgment or
vindication.
It's not my my gig, and I just can't really take it on. And so it feels like letting a lot of this prison mentality shit go is freeing. It's like it feels good because it's stupid. And it's also understandable why these prison rules and the culture here, why it happens, but it's also stupid. And it's also every human being should kind of make their own decision. And that goes for you guys out there in the world, too. Because the shit that's going on with the politics and race and just everything, don't let other people tell you how to act.
Right.
Adopt your own culture, your own personal culture. Be your own person.
Yeah.
Listen to, except for this show, listen to whatever I say. Of course, none of that counts, of course, besides me, because I am your true guru. And no, but you guys know what I mean. I am clearly in a cheery
I can tell.
Podcast.
That's awesome. Well, did you have coffee today? Because the last time we talked, you'd mentioned about cutting back on coffee.
Oh, you didn't pick up on any. That was not sarcastic to you at all that I said that.
Oh.
Listen to how droll my voice is.
Do it again.
I mean, just a perpetual, the ever positive Mama C. Oh yeah, you sound great. I don't mind being in this mood like this. There's a jerkiness that I find amusing that comes out of being kind of like tired and like impatient. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
It's okay, but it needs to be counterbalanced with your peppy energy, and it is.
Yeah.
So listen, so give us something to wrap all this up, because I'm sure half of our listeners have veered off whatever highway they were driving on because they fell asleep listening to me Logan talk, now being woken up by an interested and curious paramedic somewhere. So let's give them some revive stuff. Do you have anything weird or very oddly Mama C?
We're going to take a road trip today. That's not odd or anything. What?
No. This is very, very interesting. I kind of almost wanted to start with this because, you know, when there's no material, then just life is material. So you're going to get lotto tickets, right?
Yes, we are.
So let me explain this to the international viewers. In America, with federalism and the states' rights and stuff, we have an overarching...
you have 1 minute remaining.
We have an overarching federal government, right, for the whole country. But we also have state laws, and state laws, federal laws will trump state laws. But for the most part, unless there's a problem and it violates the Constitution, states are kind of allowed to do what they do. And where you're at in Nevada, which is the gambling capital of the fucking world,
right,
you're ironically not allowed to play the lottery.
No, that was so...
Which you're allowed to play everywhere else but there.
Right.
So you have to drive 3 hours to a state, the state line of California, Nevada, to buy lottery tickets, correct?
Yeah, we have to drive out of state to go get them. And the only thing in this little town is called Last Stop or something, is a lottery gas station store. That's it, nothing else.
So how stupid is that? So everyone drives there, and there's a line a mile long, and it's just like this oasis of lottery tickets, where people buy lottery tickets, in the one state where gambling has been legal this entire time. But you can't buy fucking lottery tickets.
It doesn't make sense.
Thank you for using GTL.
Okay,
so real quick. I just think it's so apropos to end, because of what this show is and the nonsense that occurs behind bars and the entire criminal justice system, how illogical and nonsensical it is. I think it's just a beautiful reminder to end the show on the fact that it's not just in here. It's out there, too. And I'm sure everyone who listens to this has a whole litany of things in their everyday life that are nonsensical and dumb. And I have one that will be coming up. I don't know if we'll get into it in this next episode. Specifically about this place that is, will trump that as even more mind-numbing and all that stuff. So that being said, you know, we got to take our wins where we can get them and exercise a little free will. And even if that means choosing what kind of podcast to listen to or coming out here and standing in a phone line to talk to you wonderful, amazing people. And I say that with no sarcasm this time. I really love you guys. And just thank you for being part of this thing. And we're all in this together in one way or another, big and small. So yeah, on behalf of myself, Mama C.
Hey, I got to do my weird science, don't I?
No, this isn't the
isn't the
Patreon one.
Oh, okay, yeah.
This isn't the news from the week. You saved that
Damn
one.
It. Okay.
And I love you, Mama.
I love you too.
And I love you guys too. So
yeah, and all and to all booger eaters out there and noodle arms, we love you too. How about that? That was sarcastic. What?
Hey, Mom.
What?
Hey, when I'm doing an outro like that, just let me out of the phone.
Oh, sorry.
You know
okay, I'm sorry.
Just let me end on the good vibes.
Okay.
And then wait until I finish and then do the thing.
Okay. Retake.
And cut that out because I can't, of all the people I can be a prick to, it can't be you.
No, I like it. I'm leaving. Now it's my turn to say I'm leaving that in there.
I'm already, I love you so much. You're just
the
best, and none of this would be possible without you. So, on behalf of everyone, the paramedics, the vehicle repair people, and everyone who fell asleep listening to this episode, we love you. We are gone.
We're gone.
Hi, everybody. Mama C here. For the complete library, full episodes, and bonus content, and mainly to support this cause, visit Notes from the Pen on Patreon. To learn more about Bobby and prison reform, visit our website, notesfromthepen.com. And follow us on Twitter to stay current. This has been another Notes from the Pen production.
Mom, it's really hard. Like, I'm sarcastic, and I can be an asshole, and I think it's funny, too, and I, like, lean into it. But I feel like when I do it to you, that's, like, the one unforgivable, because...
Oh, I didn't take it. See, I didn't take it that way at all. I know you.
I know, because you don't ever hear or see anything I do as anything but, like, great.
Yeah, I'm leaving that in there because I like
it. I just feel like, you know, the momentum of, like, I was, like, on something, like, wrapping it up, like, you know, kind of bringing it. I was, like, trying to end it with some good energy instead of, like, the droll shit.
Yeah, I can't wait for you to get out. Although I'm having fun,
we're still going to need
it. I'm not the right person, but I love doing it.
No, you are. Listen. The whole dynamic is, there's a really, I don't want to say quaint, there's a really nice dynamic that this is like, that a lot of podcasts don't. How many podcasts does a person have to have their mom produce it? But
right.
Because prison is the way it is, like, it has to be this way. So our dynamic and our interaction lend like a sincerity and a realness to it, because, and it's also created this really beautiful reason, not that we need one, but motivation for you and I to stay connected and just to have longer talks than we might otherwise, you know
yeah.
what I mean?
Well, that is true.
And to pry into like other stuff. And, you know, I get really curious about your childhood and I want to talk more about that. I want to learn more about that. And this thing is, because it's kind of been, we have other people involved, meaning like all the people who listen and stuff, we have a responsibility to them. So it brings us to the table more often than we might otherwise. And because of that, we get to spend more time together and we get to talk more and we get to, it's a beautiful thing. And it takes a little bit more work and it can be frustrating and seem.
See, that's one of the things I love about you. Look where you're at, and yet you're helping me through, you know, something I feel uncomfortable with. I love you for that.
I love you too.
All right.
All right, Mama. Talk to you later. Go win the goddamn lottery, okay?
Oh, no. Yes. All right, honey. I'll talk to you soon.
All right.
All right, bye.
All right, bye.